Well, greetings again, family. Good to see you. Thank you for being here. What a great weekend. 48 people getting baptized. Isn't that awesome? It's so good. So good. Before I jump into my message, I just want to thank you for taking this last series that we've just finished up seriously. We have been talking about the mandate from our God to love first and mobilizing together to have impact in our valley. And one of the things that we have been encouraging and very grateful for your help in is that we partner with the Help and Hope Center here in Castle Rock, and that provides help with non-perishable food items and toiletries and those kinds of things for folks in need. Well, during our Love First campaign and series, Mercedes and her team have done such a great job helping us to get those goods collected. And the Help and Hope Center just wanted to express their thanks for your help in that. And together we raised just shy of 7,000 pounds of non-perishable items. Isn't that awesome, you guys? And so, of course, I'm thinking a lot of that's toilet paper and paper towels. So we did really good because those things are pretty light. So thank you for doing that. As Pastor Tommy said in the video, we're beginning a new four-week series called The Gallery. One of the churches that I previously served on over 30 years ago, our children's pastor in a previous position had been a jewelry salesman. And we got to talking one day about jewelry and how all of those things work. And he said, "Doug, do you want to know how you know if you got a good deal on some jewelry?" I was like, from the insider, absolutely I would like to know how that works. And he smiled as only Jimmy could, and he said, "If you think you did." Ascribing value to things can be very arbitrary, and you've likely heard that something is only worth what someone else is to pay for, right? What someone else was willing to pay for it. And there's a lot of truth to that. And we all place value on things differently, right? We place value on things differently. For example, there was a 15-year-old man not too long ago in New York City. He was walking from his bus stop to his father's apartment in Upper Manhattan when he realized that there were a couple of young men following him. And eventually they backed him into a corner and at gunpoint ordered him to give them his wallet. And he said no, which is not very smart, by the way, to do. Give them your wallet. They asked him again, give us your wallet. And he said, no. And so the third time, they tried to get a little tougher, and they said, give us your wallet. And he said, no. And they looked at each other, these three guys, and they ran away. Well, later, this young man was talking to the police officers about why in the world he wouldn't give up his wallet, and that is a foolish thing. Don't do that. Just give them their wallet. And they said, well, why in the world would you not give them your wallet? And he's like, that's easy. It has my driver's permit in it. We value things differently. Sometimes we stumble into things without realizing or perhaps having some kind of misunderstanding to how much value they really have. For example, in 1989, a guy bought an old picture at a flea market in Adamstown, Pennsylvania, of which he paid $4 for. The reason that he bought this particular piece of art was because he liked the frame. So when he got home, he started taking this picture apart that was in there, the art that was in there, removing it from the frame, only to discover a rare copy of the Declaration of Independence. So he decided to have it appraised and learned that it was one of 500 official copies from the first printing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. And upon further examination, they told him that there were only 24 similar copies known to exist, and this one was in the best shape of all of them. So, of course, he put this up for sale on Sotheby's, and on June 4th, 1991, it sold for $2.42 million. So back to the flea market, right? That's what you do when you make $2.4 million. Oh, but it gets better. A few years later, the same copy of the Declaration of Independence that this man had found at a flea market sold for $8.14 million. Sometimes we don't understand the value of what we have. Would you agree? Where we're going to be going together during the next several weeks is taking a deep dive into some incredible things that Jesus taught. And he painted with words some incredible pictures that he intended for his original audience and for this audience today to pay close attention to. And these stories kind of sneak up on you. You might be familiar with the word parable, and that's what Jesus was using to teach these important kingdom principles, parables. They're stories that sneak up on you. A parable is a moral or religious story, a story ascribed to Jesus. It's engaging, and it contains a moral lesson. And the ones that we're going to look at today help us to understand some things of great value in the context of the kingdom of God. So my main thought this weekend has been this: God prioritized me, I must prioritize him. God prioritized me, I must prioritize him. So these parables are going to teach us that there is something in the kingdom of God that has great value, and we need to understand this, and we need to be willing to make application in our lives. These parables are speaking of the finding and the pursuing of something of value. A parable is going to challenge us. These two that we're looking at today are unpacking the same kind of thought, but with two different stories. Let's take a look at this parable more carefully. And Jesus has just spent, to understand the context of where we're heading in this passage today, Jesus has just spent a full day healing the sick, teaching, and as only Jesus could, holding the Pharisees accountable to some of their misunderstanding of what it meant to follow God. So I want to start in the beginning of chapter 13 so we can understand the setting. In Matthew chapter 13, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there or you can swipe there on your phones. We're going to start in verse 1. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. And he sat there and he taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables. So Matthew chapter 13 has several of these stories that we're going to be looking at over the course of this series. You can imagine Jesus just sitting on the beach chilling, right? He's had a hard day of ministry. I kind of get what that feels like sometimes. You just want to sit somewhere and be quiet and just reflect and recharge the batteries a bit. But for Jesus, the crowd gathers, and so he gets back to work. He sits himself in a boat and, using the acoustics of the water and the lake there, begins to teach so the crowd can hear him. And we're going to jump now to verse 44 and listen to we're going to look at two of these stories that Jesus taught that day. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and he sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. In verse 45, again, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned, and he bought it. So here's the idea behind any time we read these parables. What we need to do is first ask ourselves this important question: what in the world was Jesus talking about? And the second question that is equally as important is, how in the world do I apply this to my life? How must this move me to do life a little bit differently? So there are two different main perspectives of this particular parable. And theologians have tried to determine, there are some of these stories that Jesus just says, this is what I'm talking about. And there are others where the story is left for us to kind of figure out ourselves. Both of these perspectives on the meaning of this parable seem to have important relevance to our understanding of the kingdom of heaven. And usually when I would do study like this, I would lean in one direction or the other as I do all the research to determine what I think it means. And I definitely would say that I have a feeling about that. But they both seem to be critical. And so I'm going to share them both with you today. And you'll see why I am sharing these as we go. They both have very reputable theologians on both sides of the expression of what this could mean, and honestly, I could build a legitimate case for either of these understandings. So just walk with me through this. I think it will benefit us to quickly look at both of them. In each of these perspectives, the first component that we read, that really is the heart behind these two stories, is the same, where Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like. And so we have to first understand what he means by the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is God and us. It's what he's done for us. It's the rule and the reign of the gospel, the message that we have of God's love for us and his redemptive work for us. So the kingdom of heaven refers to our heavenly Father and each of us that would call ourselves Christ followers. So for all of these 48 people that have been baptized this week, taken a step across the line of faith and said, I'm in, you're this. This is you. And for all of the rest of us that have made this decision throughout the course of our lives, and if you haven't, you could join the crew today. And I'll give you a chance at the end of our service after you hear and understand these stories that Jesus was talking about. And then there are these other components of these parables as well. There's this man that finds this treasure, and there's this merchant that finds this pearl. And now, those in the two perspectives will be a little bit different. So let's take a look at the first perspective. The kingdom of God is like this man and this merchant, and in this perspective, those two characters, the man and the merchant, represent our Heavenly Father. They represent God. He was willing to pay the price that was paid. And here is the price that Jesus was willing to pay. He emptied himself and he deprived himself when he came to earth to purchase our salvation. What was it that he was willing to deprive himself or empty himself of? His heavenly glory. He was willing to give up his divine authority. He was willing to give up his divine prerogative and his eternal riches. He was willing to lay even his life down. And like we talked about last week, a moment where he experienced separation from God the Father. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, the Apostle Paul is kind of unpacking this thought of what God is willing to do for us. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty, he could make you rich. And I'm not talking about a fat bank account in a sweet 401k, I'm talking about rich at a whole other level. And we're going to talk about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Apostle Paul reiterates more, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. The key here that we must land in understanding, and my prayer this whole week has been this, that it would sink deeply into our minds, but that it would make it past our minds and sink even deeper into our hearts and our souls, that we would understand and know the price that God was willing to pay, what he did to provide for us the opportunity to know and experience his grace and his forgiveness and salvation and fullness of life and hope for eternity. Friends, this is so very important. And here's why. God knows how important it is for you to understand that he loves you this much. Vitally important. And he knows that when you begin to understand how much your heavenly Father loves you, that that begins to redefine your life. You begin to see yourself differently. You begin to understand who you are because of him. And friends, that is a game changer. But here's where it gets tricky. The enemy of your soul also knows how debilitating it can be for you to not know that. And he's real good at telling us these lies. And we have a propensity to believe what he said because some of life seems to verify that. Would you agree? Sometimes when we look at our past, we think to ourselves, there's no way I could qualify being someone that God loves, because I've messed up so bad, because my past is riddled with failure. And some of us, it's because of our experience in life where it seems as though we have been missed by God. And I've been through seasons like that, and I know you have too. So what happens is our enemy comes and he just taps on your shoulder and whispers in your ear, man, clearly God doesn't love you. You're actually unlovable. How in the world could a God who's keeping the whole universe going care about you? You're nobody. Have you ever felt these things or heard these things? So this is one of the greatest tricks of our enemy that wants to come and distort a truth of God to cause us to believe a lie. And when we believe the lie that we don't matter to God, it changes and derails God's plan for you to experience and know the abundant life. And that's why it was important for us to talk about this first perspective. Why would he be willing to sacrifice and do this? Of course, that brings us to the treasure. It brings us to the pearl. Are you ready? This is what it is. Look right here. I'm his treasure. That's awesome. I'm a pearl of great price that he's willing to sacrifice everything for. I'm feeling pretty good about myself today. When I begin to understand that he loves me this much, guys, it changes my life. Like, what else matters when the creator of the universe loves me that much? Whoo! I want to do things different. I want to live my life different because I matter this much. But it doesn't stop with me, friends. You are his treasure. You had an hour of sleep and you didn't say amen. You are his treasure. Amen. Guys, this is good news. This pearl, this valuable pearl, and in this first interpretation, this treasure that was found in the field is you and I. Let's go back now and let's read this parable one more time and understand what God was saying to us through his son. The kingdom of heaven, friends, you must understand this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Who's that? Just say me. Oh, not so depressed. Who is this treasure?
Me.
Oh, there you go. Let it begin to work its way into your soul, friends. It is us that a man God discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it. He's excited about you. And he hid it, and he went and he sold everything that he had and everything that he owned to get enough money to buy that field. Why? Because he's crazy about you. Again, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. That's God. And again, he's on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, who's that? Okay, good. When he discovered that pearl of great price, that's us, guys. He sold everything he owned and he bought it. Guys, we have to get this. You have to get this. And I've been praying all week that you'd walk out of here with a little bit of a pep in your step today. Because you're reminded, listen, I'm a child of God and he loves me. And even if nobody else says so, I'm a big deal. Because God loves me. He cares about me so much that he would pay this kind of a price for me. And listen, I promise you, there will be a time later today, for sure this week, where the enemy's going to come back and he's going to say, you don't matter to God. And you need to be prepared with your rebuttal. Liar! Because I know who I am, and he loves me. I heard a story about this young lady who, when she was young, suffered as a victim of polio, and it ravaged her body. And she grew up as a young lady, very, very uncertain of her value because of this. And later in life, she even described that there were many times that she thought she had no value. And so when her mom would drop her off at school, or even drop her off at church, this young lady would always ask her mom for her necklace that had a little locket on it. And later, you know, her mom had said that I just thought she just liked to wear my necklace. But the little girl said this, no, you see, the reason I asked mom for the necklace is because I thought as long as I had that pretty necklace on, mom would come back for me. And we hear a story like that, and it does something to us, doesn't it? Because we're like that poor little girl. Like nobody needs to live a life questioning their value. Like you have an extraordinary value. But friends, listen to me. It is equally as debilitating for a child of God to also think they have no value. It will change the way you live life when you grab hold of this truth. He is crazy about you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he will pay a great price because you are his treasure. Friends, I know there was someone here today that needed to hear that, or perhaps you're worshiping with us online today and you've been struggling with this and you've been trying to get your arms sorted around your identity and who you are and how all of this works. And today, I hope you will recognize that there are times when the enemy has worked us over so much that we believe his lies. And I don't want that to be you. I want you to understand who you are in Jesus and that you have great value to the creator of the universe. That has such implications in your life that it will change you forever. And perhaps there's someone that's listening today that has been at a place where you've just kind of been struggling. Yeah, you made a decision to accept Christ. Maybe it was weeks or months or even years or decades ago. But today you as well needed to be reminded, kind of recalibrate today, being reminded that you have great value to your God. Regardless of what you think about yourself or how you feel about yourself right now, God valued you and he valued me, and that he would pay a price, that he would do all that he's done so that you and I would know his grace and his forgiveness, his mercy, and again, have hope for eternity and fullness of life. So if you've never heard this before, or perhaps if you've forgotten this, let me tell you, God loves you. Don't forget it. Friends, listen to me. You matter to God. You are worth it. You have value, and you are his treasure, and he's willing to cash it in for you. He will pay the price. And I want you to get this, and I will always fall short of communicating the passionate love that your God has for you. I can't even tell you the fullness of that. But as you lean into your relationship with him, what is so beautiful is that you will experience this. And I hope you can see how important this is. You are his treasure. You are his pearl of great price. And if that's you today and you've been struggling with just the full embrace of this, just bow your heads for a second, close your eyes and listen to these words. But God showed his great love for you by sending Christ to die for you while you were still a sinner. Whew. But God is so rich in mercy and he loves you so much that even though you were dead because of your sins, he gave you life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised you from the dead along with Christ and seated you with him in the heavenly realms because you are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to you in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and his kindness towards us. Will you look at me? Guys, live this. Don't just listen to Dougie say this. Live this. It will change you forever. God prioritized me. I must prioritize him. So now we make this shift into the second perspective of interpreting this parable. And again, remember, the kingdom of God is the main thing that we're talking about here, and we want to understand the kingdom of God. So this second perspective of interpreting these parables is this: you are the man and the merchant. And it was important for us to talk first about the fact that you matter to God and that you have value to him, because when you know that, see, that puts us on a course of pursuit of him in a different kind of way, which is what I believe Jesus was talking about in this story. This is for all of us. And listen, we spend so much of life searching for something of value, for fullness, for peace, for resolve, and there are things that appear that this world has for us, that dangles in front of us, that we think will provide this kind of fullness of life. And we've all been part of the scurry and the hurry to try and achieve or accomplish or to find these things that will, we think, bring value to us or communicate to the world around us that we do have value. And most of us have spent a considerable amount of time, effort, and energy in pursuit of these things. It could be financial security or relational security. It could be fame or notoriety or power and prestige. But if we're honest, when we have a moment to really reflect, as much of these things as we may have been able to find, if we're honest, what we will say is they don't quite fully satisfy. Because what we always want is a little more, a little more. And it becomes this relentless pursuit of this fullness of life that these things will never provide. And this brings us back to the treasure. What is it? What is that pearl that will satisfy? And that, my friends, is what Jesus was talking about in this parable as well. Our relationship with God, our pursuit of him, and understanding who we are is the valuable pearl and the treasure that we will seek. In this second interpretation of this parable, it's our understanding of and our pursuit of God, our salvation, his grace, his mercy, again, his forgiveness, fullness of life, and our hope for eternity. Jesus is the pearl of great price, a treasure of unknown value that we will continue to understand the value of every day of our lives. It is that will make us rich, and I'm not talking about a fat bank account, a nice house and a 401k, but it's rich in a completely different kind of way. The reality that in him, we have enough. We have enough to experience and know fullness of life. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. He said this, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom himself. God has made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. That's the good news. Again, you're pretty sleepy today. That would have been a great place to say amen. Amen. Let's try it again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. You love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice, and listen to these words, with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Amen. Okay, now we're there. We have to hunt this down with passion. And Jesus really wanted us to understand this. So a little bit earlier in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said these famous words, seek the kingdom of God above all else. That's not like after I'm done with work or after I got my workout in or after I made sure we had enough money this month. He says this, seek him first above everything else and live righteously. And here's the promise. And he will give you everything you need. Thank you. We're good now. We're getting it. This is a promise. So we prioritize the kingdom of God above everything else. Seeking is a vital and very necessary part of knowing the value of God's kingdom. And the key here is this. I know that God calls you to be passionate about your pursuit of our relationship with him that has greater value than anything else in your life. This is all chips in. This is all that I am, all that I have, everything for him. And so, friends, I want to ask you this question today. Is that reflective of your life? How are you doing? That's what I've been thinking about this week. How's Doug doing? How are you doing in your pursuit of God? I wonder if there's something else that you pursue even more. Have you prioritized well? I wonder if we had a chance to just sit and talk after service, what it would be for you that you would say is the biggest obstacle for you in your pursuit of God? If we're honest, which we should be, what is it that prevents you from truly, with all of your heart, seeking your relationship with the Lord? You see, when we understand whose we are and we understand how much he loves us, that he's crazy about you, that he loves you that much, you see, we begin to live life differently because we want to know the one that was willing to pay this price for us. We want to be close to this God that says, you're worth it. When we are his focus, he should be our focus. So I wonder how you've been doing with this. Now, he's not going to drag you into the kingdom of God kicking and screaming with resistance. That's not what it's about. Just like these two stories, he wants you to be this person who found something of great value in a field and gives up everything, to know that God. He wants you to know that your relationship with him is the most valuable thing that you can pursue. His promise to you and me as you read through Scripture is this: if you'll pursue this treasure, friends, you'll find it. You'll find it. And you'll be marked by it. And that pursuit will bring you joy, fullness of life, and change and reorient every priority that you and I have. So I want to finish this morning with a couple of reminders from Scripture. Prophet Jeremiah said it this way: if you seek me, God says, you will find me, if you seek me with all of your heart. And then in Amos chapter 5, verse 4, there's a challenge and a promise. You ready? Seek me and live. Whew. But it's a different life. It's an incredible life. And friends, Jesus wanted us to know this. So he would paint a beautiful picture with words, and he would invite you. Come. Find yourself in my story. Find yourself in the kingdom of God, understanding the value that you have to our God, and understanding that when you truly have that settled in your heart, that you matter to him that much, it's going to reorient your life. And you become the one that becomes passionate about knowing God in this kind of fullness. Friends, settle it today. He loves you. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you for this amazing picture that you painted for us with words, and for your amazing way of teaching that compels us and draws us into your story. And I thank you today that we have opportunity to allow this to simmer in our hearts. And not just today, but ongoing throughout the rest of this week and the years that lie ahead, that we would live in full embrace of the value we have to you. That we would reject the enemy's lies and call them what they are, but celebrate your love for us and then respond by being in active pursuit of our relationship with you too. Friends, I know that there's someone that's listening to my voice today who has yet to respond to this message that we've been talking about. And now there's something stirring inside of you that's saying, listen, I guess I had no idea how much God loved me. And perhaps you've even believed the lies of the enemy that would say to you that you don't matter, or that you're too far gone, your mistakes are too great. And I want to remind you and reiterate once again, those are lies from the pit of hell, and they are not true. He loves you. He was willing to pay a price for you. And all he wants in return is for you to say yes to him and to pursue him back. And so if that's you and you can hear my voice, whether again in this room or at home or in a coffee shop somewhere, and you know you haven't responded to the message that I've just shared with you, but you're saying today, I'm ready. In your own words, you don't have to be an amazing prayer. You just have to pray from the heart. Or you would just say today, in your words, after me, God, thank you for loving me this way. I would have had no way of fully knowing how much you care for me. Blows my mind that I have value to you. But I want to understand this more. And so today I thank you for the price that you were willing to pay for me. That your death on the cross pays for all of the ways that I've fallen short. And now I ask, Lord, that you will help me to grow in my understanding of this and my expression of pursuing you. And listen, this is a reminder for all of us. And my prayer this week has been what's happened for me, and that is a recalibration of my soul for all of us that are here, whether it's a day or weeks or decades that you've known Jesus. This is so important for us to have settled in our hearts that you are a treasure, that you matter.